This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you'd like to note them down, you might want to get a pencil out. The website does contain this program, and you can re-listen to it there. Now, we've been taking our journey through Genesis, and we've reached chapter 37, although I'm going to skip most of chapter 36. But when we looked at chapter 35, you'll remember we looked at three deaths, and the last one of those deaths was Isaac. And Isaac dies. Jacob and Esau were there together at his burial, which was interesting because Jacob fled from Esau, thinking that when his father died, Esau would kill him, and apparently Esau was the stronger of those two, and so Jacob feared him. And yet they are finally together when Jacob or when Isaac dies. And it does appear that they did not kill each other, but by that time both Jacob and Esau had a multitude of people and servants in their families, and so it would have been an all-out war if one had decided to try to destroy the other. Whether that had anything to do with it or not, I'm not going to say, but the situation wasn't one person against one person like it might have been when Jacob managed to steal Esau's birthright. So we have Isaac dying, and then we come to chapter 36 and we get the lineage of Esau, Jacob's twin brother. And while I don't want to spend time on this lineage, it does appear that God blessed Esau and he had lots of children and he gave him a land which ultimately was called Edom. Now it's interesting that Esau populates Edom. Esau had taken red pottage and had considered some red pottage to be more valuable than his birthright, which is why Jacob was able to get him to sell him his birthright, and then later Jacob got his blessing, which was associated, I take it, with that birthright as well. But he ate red pottage. And later on, the land that Esau inhabits is a land called Edom, and as I understand it, that name means red. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you'll find out that God makes Adam out of the dust of the ground, and the word ground seems to imply red. I don't know if the Garden of Eden or the area where God got his soil from to make a man included a lot of iron or what, but this idea of a man having a red complexion seems to be associated with the natural man. And so I'm making a leap here, a bit of a leap of faith, when I say that Esau definitely pictures a person from the earth, and Jacob, because of his association with the Lord, when he met him fleeing from Esau at the ladder that ascended to heaven, he represents a spiritual man more interested in eternity and spiritual things. Now, that does not mean that Jacob did those things that were right. We've seen how many times that he did lie, but he did love the Lord and he did worship the Lord. And so he represents what we would call the spirit today, whereas Esau would represent what we would call the flesh today. And we've noted before that the flesh and the spirit just don't get along very well. And yet we have both of those things in us even after we are saved, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh stays with us, but the spirit helps us to overcome the desires of the flesh. But that doesn't mean that from time to time we won't be like Jacob and make a few mistakes, because we are living in the flesh. We often say that after we're saved, the Holy Spirit does come to indwell us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that upon believing we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But even though the Holy Spirit does seal us, we do have the flesh with us, and so we are not sinless, but because of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we are encouraged to be conformed to the image of God's Son, according to Romans, according to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, we should sin less. Again, I'm going to say that. We don't, we who are saved are not sinless, but we should sin less. One of the first things I look for when somebody tells me they have come to know Christ is, do they now have a conscience about sin? Do they have a tender conscience and want to avoid those things that offend God? And I trust that they do. And if I see that, I usually figure that the Holy Spirit is now in their lives, convicting them of the things that are wrong and guiding them with regard to the things that are right. So we have Esau, a picture of the earth, and Jacob, a picture of a man who is interested in heavenly things, a picture of the Spirit. And then we come to chapter 37, and in chapter 37, we start reading about Joseph. Now, Joseph is the son of Jacob, and as we look at Joseph, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is an interesting story. We find that Joseph was envied by his brethren. He was sold by his brethren, and we find out that he ended up ruling over his brethren. And so, as we said, he becomes a picture of the Lord Jesus. We're going to read about him in Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 1. Now, what's interesting about Joseph is that most scholars have studied Joseph's life carefully, and they've studied Daniel's life carefully, and those are the only two men that I know of in the Old Testament who had no indication that they failed God because of a lack of faith or unbelief. They did not sin. That doesn't mean that in their lives they did not sin, because they were normal people like you and me. But their sins, I should say, are not recorded, because both were righteous men and both were examples, really, of what we should be today. But more than that, Joseph ends up being a picture of the Lord Jesus himself. So let's start reading at Genesis 37, verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he also made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And Joseph, his brother said to him, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his father, or to his brothers, and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. He thought about what was happening, sort of like Mary in the New Testament, where she meditated on the things that were taking place in her life when the Lord was born miraculously. Now, she pondered, I think it says, these things in her heart. Would that we would ponder these things in our heart as well, because now as we look at Joseph, one thing we see is that Jacob really was not a model father. It's interesting that as we look at the patriarchs, we can see that Isaac was not a model father, and Rebecca was not a model mother, because you can see that Rebecca favored one of her children, which was Jacob, and Isaac favored the other child, which was Esau. And so that set up competition in that family. And you can see that now Jacob is showing favorites to Joseph, basically because he's the son of the wife that he originally wanted, Rachel. And he loved Rachel, and thus, when Joseph was finally born, because Rachel had trouble having children when he was finally born, he became sort of his favorite. Now, he made him a coat of many colors, which seems to be a coat that was special for Joseph and not a coat that was made for the others. And I've tried to spend some time on what the coat of many colors really was. And there's a difference of opinion as to what it was. But in my opinion, the coat of many colors was really a royal robe, where it appeared that that Jacob was expecting Joseph to be the leader of that family, even though he criticizes the dream that Joseph had that would have involved his father and his mother bowing down to him. It seems to me that already Jacob recognized that Reuben, the firstborn, could not lead the family, because when we get to Genesis 49, we find out that Reuben is being set aside because he was immoral with Bilhah, I think it was, his father's concubine. And so he's set aside, and it appears that it is Jacob's desire that Joseph be the replacement for Reuben, that he is going to be the one who is the head of that clan. And so he has a robe of many colors. And so not only does Joseph have big plans, not only does Jacob have big plans for Joseph, he shows it by giving him special clothing. And he sets Joseph up for failure. If you were one of the other brothers, surely you would resent what Jacob was doing for Joseph. So he wasn't a model father. I wouldn't have done this, but this was all in God's providence, because there was a famine that was going to come. And when that famine came, there had to be provision made for the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that they would survive the famine. And Joseph is the one that God in his providence uses to make sure that there is a place of safety and a place of food prepared for the Israelites. And so we'll be following through the story of Joseph as we begin to look at all that happened to him, because it looks like at the beginning that God forsakes him. It looks at the beginning like God is allowing his brothers to reject him. And all of these things are things that happened to the Lord. But the Lord was forsaken in order that we might be saved. The Lord didn't sin, but we know that the nation, the Pharisees and scribes, did. They envied him. It's a very similar picture. And so we have a Savior in Christ, and I hope you've trusted him. They ended up having a Savior in Joseph, the one that they hated, the brothers hated as well. And so we can see how God is showing us from the very beginning that he had a plan to save his creation, mankind. But all creation is not saved, because all creation will not come to the Lord Jesus and trust him. But I have, and I hope you have as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We just pray for blessing upon this day in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.